Welcome back to our final study on the end times. I'm sure everyone would like to know what the future holds. Well, here we are at the end of our journey to the end of this age. The Great Tribulation is past, the millennium is over, the final satanic rebellion is crushed, and the Great White Throne Judgment has rid the earth of all rebels. Now it is time to purify the earth for its next career and establish its government. In saying Earth's next career, of course, I'm implying that she had a previous career, or even several other careers. Cosmologists and astrophysicists tell us that the Earth is billions of years old, and considering the speed at which light travels, as well as carbon dating of fossils, we have no reason to disbelieve their findings. The young Earth theory, on the other hand, that the Earth is just 6,000 years old, leaves too many unanswered questions. In any event, we know that the world Adam and his descendants inherited was more of a renovated planet than a new one. The pre-Adamic world was destroyed by a cosmic war that left it buried in a watery grave, Genesis 1 and 2. When we combine the revelations from the prophet Jeremiah and the apostle Peter, we confirm this to be the case. Here is Jeremiah. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down with the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. Jeremiah 4:23-26. And here is Peter. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. 2 Peter 3:5-6. These two revelations confirm that God never made the earth without form and void, as we read in Genesis 1:2. It became that way. And Jeremiah's description of it was like that of a news reporter recounting the details of an apocalyptic event. Whatever happened changed the topography of the earth and destroyed all its cities and other life forms. The prophet appears shocked at the desolation, expecting to see human life and vegetation, and cities bustling with people and birds filling the skies, but instead he saw only ruin and waste. And thus, what we refer to as the creation narrative, beginning with Genesis 1:3, is really the story of Earth's renovation for Adam's collective. Hence, we hear God's command to the first human couple to replenish the earth. Genesis 1:28, taken from the King James Version. This is the identical command given to Noah and his family after the great flood had destroyed every living creature, and God pressed the restart button. Genesis 8:17. Peter's disclosure also adds that earth will enter a new career when this one is over, and that it will be purified by fire to prepare it for its next set of occupants. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter 3:7. Like it did in the Jeremiah account, the existing earth and atmospheric heavens will once again undergo some topographical changes before the descent of the New Jerusalem from heaven. We are told that this renewed earth will have no sea. Some scholars believe that the large oceans will no longer exist, but that there will be an abundance of rivers, lakes, and small seas on the earth. Seas and isles and rivers are mentioned in connection with the eternal reign of Christ. For example, in Psalm 72, Ezekiel 47, Revelation 22, and Isaiah 42. Some seas were created with the original earth and made to last as long as the sun, moon, and the earth itself, Jeremiah 5:22, Psalm 146, Proverbs 8, Acts 4:24. And an abundance of water will be needed to fulfill those prophecies that refer to fruitful seasons and waters springing up in the desert. For example, Isaiah 35, Amos 5, and Job 38, Psalm 104. An evaporation or replacement of oceans will mean that millions of square miles of land will be made available for coming generations of natural people. After the earth has been cleansed and renovated, it will be prepared for the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. This city is known by many different names, including the New Jerusalem, the Holy City, the Bride, the Lamb's Wife, the Tabernacle of God, the Great City, and the Heavenly Jerusalem. This New Jerusalem is what we look forward to whenever we speak of heaven, and it is the Father's house with many mansions that Jesus spoke about and which he's gone to prepare for us a place. John 14:1-3. God is the architect, owner, and builder of this city, which will be moved from heaven to earth after the millennium. It is that city that Abraham looked forward to, the one that had foundations and whose maker and builder was God. Hebrews 11:8-10. The saints from all ages will be part of that holy city. The description of the New Jerusalem, as given in Revelation, is like that presented in Isaiah 60. The city's boundaries form a perfect cube, 1500 by 1500 by 1500 miles. It will have semi-precious stone for its foundation, jasper for its 300-foot high walls, and buildings made of gold. The streets are paved with gold and look like transparent glass. The city walls will have 12 gates made of pearls and on which are written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Each gate will have a sentry outpost with 12 angels, and the names of the 12 apostles will be carved on its foundation stones, Revelation 21:12-14. This honor given to Israel and to the apostles represent the dispensations of Israel and the church and their final merger as the one bride of Christ. Beyond the extensive use of precious metals and materials, there will be eternal light from the Lord, so that there will never be night again, Revelation 21:25. These heavenly bodies will still be in existence because day and night will not cease on earth. 12 great rivers will flow through the city from their headwaters at the throne of God. The inhabitants of this city will be God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, angels, redeemed and glorified saints, seraphim, cherubim, and other celestials from ages past. Earthly and natural peoples will not live in this celestial city, but will be allowed to enter it. The gates of the New Jerusalem will never shut, so that the righteous inhabitants of earth and foreign kings and nations can come any time for worship. There will, however, be a checkpoint to filter out unwanted people from the city. Only the redeemed of natural peoples will be allowed entrance into the holy city. Here is John in Revelation. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there, and they shall bring their glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21:24-27. The natural peoples who lived through the millennium and did not side with Satan in his final rebellion in the Battle of Gog and Magog will replenish the renovated and purified earth with a similar mandate as given to Adam on the renovated earth and to Noah on a renewed earth after the flood. What is the nature of this traffic between the new earth and the holy city? The nations would be paying tribute to the heavenly city in much the same manner that the nation of Israel would bring their tithes into the temple. and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in his light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. Revelation 21 and 24. In the New Jerusalem, glorified saints will eat hidden manna from the tree of life and will enjoy the fruit of the vine. There will be rows of trees of life along the banks of the rivers, and these will bear 12 kinds of fruit. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. And so, we come full circle. The Bible opens with the creation of a heaven and earth in the beginning of time. That creation was destroyed, as we can tell from verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. At the end of this age, the old heavens and earth will give way to a purified earth and a new Jerusalem that descends from heaven. In that world, there will be no pain, sorrow, parting, death, or tears. There will be no need for the moon or the sun, for the Lamb will be the light and glory of the city. We will be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ forever. God will be our Father, and the Lamb will be with us as our bridegroom. Ultimately, conditions under the new earth, being managed from the holy city, as revealed at the end of this age, would have been what Adam's race would have experienced if he had not sinned. In other words, the plan of redemption is aimed at restoring the ideal for man and earth that God had in mind before Adam's disobedience corrupted the world. The earth is the way it is because of the curse passed upon it and its caretaker and occupants. And so when the curse is finally lifted, the world will be restored to its former condition. Earth will continue, and natural peoples, animals, and vegetation will also continue. Three biblical passages speak of 1,000 generations. This is a Hebraism for perpetual generations. In Psalm 90 and 10, Moses speaks of our years being 70 to 80. A period of 1,000 generations would amount to the continuation of humanity for 70,000 to 80,000 years on earth. In the Bible, there is mention of eternal covenants with natural men and beasts. Lands also were promised to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And so natural peoples must remain on earth for these promises to be fulfilled. Scriptures also indicate that David's natural seed will be ruled by Christ forever. In addition, planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will continue as long as earth remains. Glorified saints will rule and reign as kings and priests forever with Christ. For this to be possible, they must have subjects to rule over and worshippers to minister to. Will there not be overpopulation at some point in time if man remains obedient to God in the ages to come? And if so, how will God solve this problem? Psalm 8 and Isaiah 40, 29-31 suggest that man was made to rule over all of God's works. Would all God's works not include the other planets as well? And so we come full circle. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And in Revelation, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Access to the tree of life is restored. In Genesis 3:24, we read, so God drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And in Revelation 22:2 we read, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. The curse will finally be removed. In Genesis 3:17, then to Adam God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And in Revelation 22:3 we read, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Access to God is finally restored. In Genesis 3 and 24 we read, "So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." But in Revelation 22:4 we read, "They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." He who testified to these things says, "Surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.